So before we launch into the specifics, let's back up a tiny bit. Like, why podcasts? Like, why land on such a difficult project for a large composition program?
Yeah, that's a totally fair question. And the super quick version of how we got here is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Both of us have been experimenting with rhetorical genres like podcasting in our other writing classes, mm-hmm. from first year level classes to senior seminars. Why we ultimately landed on this particular project, though, really has to do with the ways it took our students and ourselves away from our classroom comfort zones. Writing a story-driven podcast feels weird inside such a standard GUR, which gives us a chance to reflect on why that is and ask questions about what writing does. Likewise, and really importantly, the podcast connects up with values underlying the communication practices that Gregory Ulmer has been calling electricity.
Yep, and even the name podcast works as an example of what pushes us out of our comfort zones.
Right.
So in a couple of my classes where podcasting took center stage or was the focus of the entire class, mm-hmm. it was easy to call what we were making podcasts. Like most of the podcasts we might subscribe to on iTunes or Stitcher and the like, the students invented a large theme and then wrote and produced a few episodes about that
theme.
As
you may know, we choose some theme.
That's basically how the genre works. Think This American Life. But in our composition program, first-year students are only making one standalone episode. No theme and no serialized episodes on that theme. One show.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we could have called it an audio essay.
It's just that the very word podcast becomes important for how the project supports the student learning.
Yeah.
What we learned from student reactions is that podcast is really defamiliarizing. Most students didn't know what a podcast was, as opposed to audio essay, which pretty much indicates an essay read aloud, not unlike an audio book. And naming the project a podcast helps students compare what they were making with the podcast we were listening to in class.
Yeah, audio essay or audio composition just carries overly familiar connotations. And like we'll get into later in this chapter, the word essay is already working on our consciousness before we sit down and begin writing. It can be difficult to approach the affordances of writing in audio when essay gets attached to the project. So, RGTA's top podcast.
Of course, apart from the word podcast, we grew increasingly curious about what composing in sound might do for students in a first-year composition class. How might working in sound expand their approach to writing?
That's right.
For us, podcasts are really a research genre, mm-hmm. and writing and researching in the 21st century aren't necessarily tied to alphabetic text, or even to a thesis, really. So while we are doing lots in the class to prepare first-year students for research writing, we're also using the podcast project to help students encounter what we believe about contemporary communication practices, which is that writing looks and works differently in different places.
So what podcasts can do is help students learn how to figure out the ways writing works in a given situation, particularly in terms of writing and communicating meaning in multiple forms and overlapping modes.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, the discomfort students might feel when presented with making a story-driven podcast instead of writing a more familiar thesis-driven essay or rhetorical analysis puts them in a position to engage the unfamiliar and ever-changing.
Right.
Put plainly, for us, this is more about learning to engage with unfamiliar rhetorical situations than it is about learning new software and creating fun digital compositions.
I am so nervous about doing a podcast.
Okay, so I'm a little nervous about teaching a podcast in English 101.
Podcasts seem like this really kind of complex, a forceful medium of communication.
I'm just afraid that it's going to be nerve-wracking and not intuitive.
When I first learned that I would be teaching a podcast, I was really, really excited. I love podcasts, personally.
Thinking about making their own scripts and their own sounds.
And not really understand the purpose of them doing this podcast.
That enthusiasm has been tempered slightly as I have found out that my students don't really know what a podcast is.
And I know when I was learning how to make them, I felt kind of inadequate next to what I was listening to.
I was really excited. I like these types of media.
I was expecting for English 101 to teach me how to write an essay that was very explanatory and college-based so that I can go on to other classes and write. I wasn't really thinking that I wanted to focus on any other English class through my entire college career, because I only really needed to know how to write an essay for like my acting class or whatever it is that I need to use an essay for. I think it was very somewhat parallel to a research paper, because I had to get sources and write from something that I knew was true. I couldn't just say something and use an assumption to back it up.
And some people have said, like, this doesn't seem college-like. When it comes to beginning writers, there's this weird idea that we have to sound really scholarly and not ourselves to earn, like, if we're talking about it in a classroom setting, the grade that we want and try and get an A, because I don't think anyone...
Maybe most importantly, this project just continues to teach us what we thought we already knew. Writing is an embodied activity that's impossible to pin down. It just means too much. And it entails a productive and difficult vulnerability.
Lots to say about vulnerability. But what we need to say right now is that the vulnerability we encountered from our GTAs, our students, and the vulnerability we experienced ourselves helped us recognize that this project grows out of and participates in electricity.
Right.
Electricity, Ulmer's word for whatever we could say is outside the realm of traditional notions of literacy, is about much more than digital, speedy printing presses. Mm-hmm. For Ulmer, it's an apparatus for knowledge production that comes with its own set of values: entertainment, affect, play, and the body. With electricity, they all count as meaningful ways to understand huge notions like subjectivity, community, and representation.
That's what pushed us forward.
That's right.
Despite our apprehension and our nerves, we decided to introduce the project because it helped align our program with methodologies and values that we gleaned from practices and definitions of electricity. Mm-hmm. We landed on the podcast project because we hoped it taps into a kind of invention or meaning-making practice that lets students consider entertainment, affect, play, and the body as wildly important, even if none of us can capture and tease out just what it all means. We want something, at least slightly, other than literacy in our program. A story-driven podcast is where we turned.
So in this chapter, we talk to new GTAs as they learn to teach podcasts. And we try to demonstrate what composing in sound rather than merely with sound can offer students and GTAs working in a composition program. We'll also work from our GTAs' pedagogical concerns regarding podcasts while questioning our own assessment practices and just what sound writing is really doing in our composition classrooms. It's not easy, and it often feels risky, all of which we'll talk about. But what we've learned has proven more than compelling.